This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, independent campus community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Coquitlam, Musqueam, Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh. We also stream online at cjsf.ca and listen to podcasts of our programs and our website.
Music and talk radio about all things, all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Intravenous on CJSF 90.1 FM. You're listening to campus and community radio broadcasting from Burnaby on the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. My name is Nicole Hines, and I just want to thank you so much for joining me this morning. First, before I get into our show today, I just wanted to talk about the weather that we've been having in the lower mainland area. Fog and frost. Frost just came today, to be quite honest, but it has been foggy on and off over the past few days, and the fog has been thick to the point that it almost felt apocalyptic to some degrees. But I will say that I'm grateful for the temperatures. The weather has actually been very mild, almost spring-like, and the sun actually has come out all of the days. It's just like the sun will be here, and then I feel like I'll blink, and then the fog completely takes over. But I'm here for it. We don't have to shovel the fog. I just say to be safe in the streets when you are driving or walking, because the fact that it can come down so quickly, the fog, it is pretty intense. On my travels home yesterday, I noticed that for those who drive in the streets, it was slow moving. So definitely take care on the roads. And then this morning, the frost appeared. So I live in New West of the hills, pretty much. And I will say, take caution. I'm sure around this time of morning, the frost isn't so treacherous, but it was pretty sketchy this morning. I'm glad that I made it to the station on time and, no catastrophes at all. Well, today we actually are going to have a couple guests join me at the station this morning. One of my guests is already here, so I'm really excited to get started to talk about something that, you know what, I will get into music first before I get into what we're going to talk about. So today I actually don't have an artist spotlight today. What I did was I scoured through the CJSF digital library and found some tracks from female Canadian artists that really spoke to me. So I am going to start off with two songs this morning. The first song that you are going to hear is called Sunworm, and this is by Calgary-based alt-rock band L'Omelette. And, you know, I love an omelette, so I kind of, you know, was really excited to see this band. They blend sax vibes and synth pop grooves. After Sunworm, you're going to hear the live version of Little Things by Adrienne Lenker. One thing about me is that I love me a live set, an acoustic version of a song, so I'm really excited to play a couple tracks for you before we get into some talking.
This is Free Voices at CJSF 90.1 FM, talking to you about
Eagle Nation Universal Production Society. We are 10 board of directors, and we are rejoicing for world history. Our show is based on true stories, musical and storytelling and role-playing, silent crimes broken, very interesting series of show.
And a lot of in-depth oral tradition. We play every Thursday from 3 to 4. Come and join us.
When you tell me it's alright, You got me.
Oh, it's so beautiful out. Oh, it feels good. It feels really good.
This is Bird Note. Two adult eagles flying high above the ground confront each other, talons outstretched, then suddenly lock onto each other's talons. Gravity takes over, and the pair, still fully entangled, wings flailing, begin to cartwheel to Earth. Just before they smack the ground, they disengage and begin to fly upward. This cartwheel display of courting bald eagles is thrilling, both highly acrobatic and downright hazardous. Once in a while, the two birds fail to release their talons and reach the earth, still fully in each other's iron grasp. Rival adults competing for mates or territory sometimes perform the same wild flight. And neither seems in a hurry to let go. Their clasp could last for hours. At last, the eagles unlock talons and fly off, back into the sky where they could, perhaps, meet again for another dramatic bout of cartwheeling. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
Hello, hello, hello. I am back. First off, before we get into some chatting, I want to let you know what we heard again. The first track that we heard at the top of the set was A Sun Worm, and the second track that we heard was the live version of Little Things off of the album Live at the Revolution Hall. Now, I'd like to welcome my first guest to Intravenous, Hazel Hoffman Miller, one of our SFU volunteer journalists, to chat about some news that both of us discovered last week. Last Wednesday, January 14th, the province of British Columbia said that it will not be extending its controversial drug decriminalization project, allowing it to expire on January 30th, 2026. So, literally just around the corner. And for context, the program began in 2023 as a three-year pilot project. It was a policy meant to help tackle the province's deadly and opioid addiction crisis by decriminalizing people who use drugs. It was intended to make it safer for people struggling with addiction and giving them a space to come forward for help. And BC was actually the only province in Canada to implement a drug decriminalization pilot program. This pilot project has faced a bunch of pushback over concerns around public disorder and drug use. Our health minister, Josie Osborne, said the province is now backing off from the pilot because, and I quote, it hasn't delivered the results that we hoped for. So, starting as soon as January 31st, the province will return back to criminalizing and punishing people for their substance use. So, Hazel, I want to thank you so much for joining me on air this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. And when we talked about this last week at our editorial meeting, you mentioned that you had done some, like, you know, studying into this pilot project and then some, you know, research, that type of thing. And I would love to hear, like, about some of the findings that you came when you, like, started to research about this project.
Yeah, of just looking into the recent news, there's a lot of pushback for a few different reasons on, you know, the decriminalization and just sort of saying that it's not as based on statistics as people would say, just because of the difficulties in measuring those statistics.
Right.
Because when you're like trying to get any sort of numbers on the unhoused population, it's really hard to keep track of people.
Absolutely.
And like have those things note down. But we do see, have found like a increase in people searching, like seeking out mental health and addiction services,
right.
An increase in people using like the safe drug sites, safe consumption sites. So I think the main like critique I've seen of this is that it's just like caving to political pressure and not based on statistics.
Absolutely. We were actually talking about this a little bit before we went on air, and I was saying like in some of the articles that I have like discovered, it was saying that it was more of a like a political thing as to why this has made the change. I also was saying, like, you know, before we were live on air, was just like, okay, we find this out on the 14th. This is when, you know, it's made public to everybody, but like that's only 2 weeks away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
I don't think it's coming to a surprise to a lot of people that it's ending, though, given that they've had like a couple policy rollbacks before.
Okay.
So we've been noticing kind of a trend of like the BC Ministry of Health just not wanting to do the program anymore. But I do think it is very sharp turn to be like, okay, suddenly it's being criminalized.
Yeah, like on the 31st. Yeah. Because technically, it, like, they didn't even let it run till the 31st. Like, it literally ends on January 30th. And, I mean, again, from our context, is that, you know, on top of this, people in BC are experiencing, like, a housing crisis.
Yeah.
And, like, a cost of living crisis. And, you know, so basically, I mean, I had watched a documentary recently about the unhoused population and how much they suffer grief as opposed to like the I wouldn't say like regular, but just like the average citizen in, let's say, the Lower Mainland. In this documentary that I watched, there was somebody interviewed who said that they had lost like 20 people in like a month and a half, right? And so a lot of times drug use can actually be a result of dealing with trauma, mm-hmm. dealing with grief, right? And so the fact that like the housing crisis isn't going away as of January 30th, right? That is still going to be an issue. Cost of living crisis is still going to be an issue. I am concerned, you know, like
yeah.
I'm very concerned.
And that was the main thing, is that criminalization doesn't deal with helping people after, and it also doesn't deal with like any of the root causes of why people like are having these issues in the first place.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you had mentioned in some of the research that you saw about like the fact that more people were actually like seeking help.
Yeah.
Right?
There's it is hard to measure, but it looks like the one thing that they can see is like what the mental health and addiction services can measure, and they have seen an increase. There was like in 2016 there was like a $60 million budget put towards like safe consumption sites,
right.
And health services, and so there's kind of been a lot of discussion on, you know, how much is that helping, and I think that they looked at, you know, the ending of the program, and they're like, oh, you know, it's not helping as much as we thought it would, but I think that they're kind of not really looking at the increase in people seeking treatment. They're just
Absolutely.
Seeing the, you know, people on the streets.
Absolutely. They're just seeing yeah. the drug use.
Yeah.
Right? And not, and let's talk a little bit about that drug use, because I read an article and it was saying that it said that about 225,000 people are estimated to use illegal drugs in BC. And the fact that, like, there's a toxic drug supply, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this drug use isn't going to end on the 30th. So I'm, like, really nervous, you know? I'm very, very concerned about the supply that people are now going to be consuming as opposed to what they had access to with the safe injection sites, et cetera,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
So I I'm going to keep my eye close on this issue. Again, you know, it is ending on the 30th. They said that they're not asking the federal government to for any more funding for this project. So I personally am going to be trying to, like, keep an eye out on it as well. And I'm curious if you have, like, any other things that you might want to share about this.
Yeah, I just one of the things I looked into was the site on the Union of British Columbia Indian Chiefs,
yes,
who were calling out specifically that this will disproportionately affect the Indigenous population, the fact that they're already overrepresented in jails.
Right.
And this isn't really helping in any specific way. Like, the way the prison system treats Indigenous people is definitely worse than, you know, the average.
Yeah, the average. Exactly. 100%. Again, that becomes another issue that, like, I'm really concerned about. And another bit of information that I also read in an article, and this article was written in 2024, and so therefore, like, this statistics is from, like, 2023, and they were saying that in 2023 the province saw a record of more than 2,500 overdose deaths. Yeah. So I just, again, I'm, like, super, super concerned about what this is going to look like in the next, I don't know, not even a year. Mm-hmm. Right.
I think it was I think the statistic was from 2022.
Okay.
At that time, there was, I think it was like 7 overdose deaths per day in BC alone.
Wow. Yeah. That is wild. And then one last thing that I wanted to just talk about when it comes to this, because we kind of like chatted a little bit about it before we were on air, is the different parts of BC that maybe you and I weren't, were kind of surprised that has, yeah, like a huge, you know what I mean? Like, drug issue.
Yeah. They were like, called out like a couple cities that this program was the most in an effect for, with like safe consumption sites and where they were focusing, addiction services. And we were shocked by the amount of like sort of smaller towns that were,
yes,
affected by it. 'Cause a lot of people, I think, like living in Metro Vancouver, Lower Mainland, think that it's a Lower Mainland specific issue, but it's really not.
No, it's not. It's not. It's like, even down to the documentary that I just referenced earlier, that was filmed in Vancouver, but also Kelowna.
Yeah.
Right? And so I personally, on, you know, as a Lower Mainland resident, was actually shocked to see Kelowna be on the map. And then you were also mentioning,
yeah, Nelson,
right,
and what were you saying, like Revelstoke?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's shocking. And then even just some of the other smaller areas, like your Prince George and your Prince Rupert and such, right? Like, I automatically just assumed, because, you know, you get like the downtown east side being the area that gets pushed the most,
yeah,
as to that is like BC's problem. But reality is, it is the whole province, you know what I mean? Not just,
yeah,
that specific area.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, we're looking at the statistics for BC, and we're looking at like this program being pushed in BC, but it's definitely like kind of all across Canada.
Oh, it's a Canada problem, big,
yeah,
time. Like, you had got me stuttering because it totally. No, I mean, all jokes aside, it really is a problem across the country, coast to coast. I am again going to keep my eye on this, mm-hmm, and I feel like even though this decision has been made, I think it's going to be revisited.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm really curious if they. Because I don't think they're taking away, like, because I think in 2017 they started really recognizing it as a problem,
yeah,
and implementing, you know, the funding.
Yeah.
And then came the drug decriminalization program. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, if anything else is taken away, if anything else,
right,
is added,
right,
in the future. Same with you. I'll definitely keep an eye on it.
Yes.
I'm really curious now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So thank you, Hazel, for,
yeah,
stopping by. I feel like you'll be back.
I'd love to be.
To have a conversation. And because this is definitely not going to be the end of this, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So I am going to get into some more music right now before we chat with our next guest. All right. So first up, we're going to have the track Like Only Lovers Could, another acoustic by Jana Mila. And then after that, we are going to hear Flowers Fell by Avery Friedman.